Hi, this is Jake Mazaros here with MenAtThePrive.com, and I'm here with Pro Tour historian Brian David Marshall.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here.
Hey, well, I have a few questions for you, and I hope that this interview can go as well as humanly possible.
Okay, I'll do my best.
Well, it must be weird. First of all, it must be weird to be on the other side of the interviewing spectrum.
It doesn't happen that often. So I like it, though. It's fun. I like to see how other people are going to handle themselves.
Okay, well, so based on the spoilers and pre-release today, what colors do you believe are the strongest to draft and seal?
Seal is obviously the strongest colors are generally going to be wherever your bombs are, but like black, red, and green seem to be, to me, the best combinations in seal. Do you want the removal cards? Do you want just trampling Yavimaya worms and whatnot, for seal? But, I mean, again, it's going to be wherever your bombs are.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. I mean, doing a lot of... I'm not very experienced in doing drafting, but I'm kind of used to seeing other people draft, so usually green is one of the stronger colors you can do to all the bombs.
Right.
And in drafting?
In drafting, I think black, red, and blue are the best colors. I mean, that's probably a little bit biased because those are the colors I tend to always draft. I just like, sort of the Grixis kind of removal, card drawing, hand destruction, answers for everything kind of package. You even have artifact removal. You have, some pretty good planeswalkers in there.
You've even got control magic and stuff like mind control.
Yeah, control magic. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, those colors just seem to me the most well-suited to dealing with whatever else your opponent's playing. Green's fine. Again, I mean, I think that there's a great five-color green deck that you can be drafting. Where you're just base green and you're taking the... I don't know the names of the cards all yet. The new guy, he's a 1-1 Borderland Ranger for 2.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Card seems really good. So you can just, kind of go, five-color green.
The new Crozen, the new...
Cultivate.
Yeah, Kodama's Reach. That's
yeah,
the card.
Cultivate, yeah. So I think it's really possible for you to just take, all these really good removal spells, planeswalkers, whatever you see, and then fit it all into a green shell that's going to end up on top with a couple of monsters.
Yeah. Okay, well, continuing on the idea of M11, how do you think that the metagame is going to shift based on cards in M11?
You mean in Standard?
Yes, in Standard.
I mean, I think everything sort of, the whole shift rotates around Mana Leak, right?
Yeah.
Like, Mana Leak's just the single most important card in M11.
Yeah, I think it...
I think there's three key cards. I think Mana Leak's obviously one of the key cards. I think Leyline of Sanctity is a really important card. I don't know how many people are talking about it or not.
That's the white Leyline, right?
It's the white Leyline.
Okay,
yeah. The card's so important. It just shuts off all the hand destruction, mind sludge in the
mono
vampire
red
deck. No blightning. Right? You can't blightning me. And against the mono red deck, it shuts off. It completely shuts off Searing Blaze. Like, they can still... You can Leyline of Sanctity, right? And they can bolt your guy, but they can't Searing Blaze.
Yeah.
Because Searing, it has to be target player and a creature that player controls, so...
There's no valid target.
Yeah, yeah. It just seems like a really, really powerful card. And then on the other side of that, the red Leyline, which is Leyline of Stubbornness or something? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
A red Leyline of Punishment.
Yeah.
I mean, look how good the red decks are doing right now, and everyone says, well, they can't beat a core Firewalker. It's like, okay, they do already beat a core Firewalker. And they have this thing now where you can't gain life, you can't, all your strategies against them are invalidated.
Yeah, also cards like Combust in Mono Red create a nice solution for a Baneslayer.
Yeah. If I was running Baneslayers, I would definitely be running Harm's Way.
Yeah.
Just...
Little insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never want to get hit with going two damage to take down a Baneslayer is always very nice.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the decks were splashing the black for the Doomblades and stuff, but now it has a valid solution to Baneslayer.
Right. Yeah. So it's a really those three cards I think are super important. I think all the Titans are going to be really relevant. I think Leyline of the Void is a card also that suddenly your Vengevines are,
even a Sun Titan is hard to do the recurrence. Today I was playing in the pre-release, and I played my Sun Titan, and in response, next turn he plays Leyline of the Void.
He's played it.
I had nothing to do. It pretty much shut down the entire goal of Sun Titan. it's still a nice 6.6 vigilance.
It's still big. It still has the ability to big. I think those are some of the cards that, to me, immediately left out. I think Conundrum Sphinx is interesting, but it's hard to fit it in with all the other four drops that it wants to play with, you know, Jace and Oracle. And,
yeah.
So.
Also, well, you qualified for Nationals and
amazingly enough.
Qualified. With and you were playing Jerry T. Nyer, if I'm not mistaken. What made you choose Jerry T. Nyer?
So I don't play in a ton of tournaments. I'm practicing very hard for Nationals. I'm actually working really hard to equip myself. You know, I don't want to just go, you know, 0-3 drop and go hang around the coverage booth until they throw me some assignments. You know. But for Nationals, for the qualifier, I was kind of like, I want to play, but I didn't put in a ton of work. So I said, who has a deck? Yeah, I just, on Facebook.
Yeah.
I was like, someone send me a deck, I don't know what to play. I was going to play, honestly, was going to play a Core Spirit Dancer deck at that point. And a couple people sent me this. Ben Stark sent me an awesome looking Vampires list. A couple other people sent me decks. But Jerry sent me a deck that had, you know, a fully diagrammed sideboard plan for every matchup. And it looked exciting, right?
Yeah. It looked like the boss Naya that Tom Ross introduced in Pro Tour a few months ago.
And I had 4 Vengevines and I wasn't doing it. So, yeah, it just seemed like a great deck. I mean, Jerry, at the PTQ, National Qualifier, GP level, like, Jerry's just been, like, the most dominant deck building force for the past couple of years. So,
yeah.
You know, he can,
in Jerry we trust.
Yeah. He says this is the right deck. I mean, it's probably better than the deck I was going to play.
Yeah. Also, a lot of people are talking about the future of Jund being in question based on Mana League. Do you see Jund having a lot more trouble now?
I mean, Jund has a lot more trouble with... was having a lot of trouble already, I guess. I don't know. Like, can't they just switch their deck around to have some duresses or something like that, then to force through the... I guess. I mean, Bloodbraid Elf still gets you 2 cards. Like, so I get your Mana Leak and I get another card, or I get a Bloodbraid Elf, or...
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think Mana Leak's really good. I don't play enough Jund on that side to know how badly it's affected. I mean, it's obviously going to be good, but...
Yeah. You're going to get Duress, you're going to get some bad cascades.
What's that? Duress is a bad cascade. That's true.
Yeah, so that's why I know a lot of Jund players who have been questioning playing Duress main, just because the meta has been shifting a lot more towards Blue-White and Super Friends and Grixis control. Well, Grixis not as much, but some people are starting to shift towards it because it beats Jund.
Sure.
And, I've been finding that a lot of the blue-white decks are, like, a lot of the good players have been shifting to blue-white, but there's so many of the Jund players.
I love when they play blue-white.
Yeah. It feels like art, you know?
No, I just never, I don't lose to blue-white. I've been playing a lot of Dredgevine, and someone throws a number, so my number's going to be some cartoonishly big number, but yeah. It's got a very advantage matchup against blue-white.
Yeah, some people have been throwing around like 75-25. We've been watching a lot of Dredgevine versus blue-white. In fact, at our last 1K, the semifinal matchup was 1K versus Dredgevine, and Dredgevine just destroyed the deck over. It's an amazing matchup.
Yeah, it's really good. They can't kill your looters.
Yeah. Well, it makes it hard to find out what's a counter, and if most decks aren't playing that many counter spells anymore, so it's like, are you really going to counter a Merfolk Looter? Or it's really a lot of thinking. Well, Brian, thanks so much for this interview.
Oh, it's my pleasure. That was great.
Well, this is Jake Mazaros from MetaDefive.com. Thanks for tuning in.